Okay, so what we're going to do over the next week and a half, Be'ezras Hashem, is we're going to try to do three separate topics that are related to each other. So we're going to try to do the topic of Puruvu in the sense of how many children a couple is supposed to have, when to have those children, spacing children, and related issues and chiyuvim as far as that's concerned. And then we're going to discuss topic number two, which is very much related to Puruvu, is contraception, meaning once you're assuming that a couple has some reason not to be attempting to have children, what forms of contraception may be used, what are the various issues that come up with each form of contraception, both practically, medically, and of course, halachically. And then the third topic is going to be, let's assume a couple is trying to fill Puruvu, or even if not, but there's a mitzvah ona, so some of the halachas of tzniyus, some of the issues relating to, so these are nida-related issues in the sense that hilchas nida is something that a person learns before they get married, and these are topics that are very much related to, dvarim shebein ish l'ishto, that a couple is, that it's good for a couple to know or be informed about before they get married. So it's like not part of the hilchas nida curriculum per se, but I figured this was like a good, in-between period of time where we can discuss some of these topics. So for the next couple of days at least, we're going to be discussing Puruvu, meaning today and tomorrow at least we'll be discussing Be'ez Hashem Puruvu. So let's start with that. First thing to discuss when it comes to Puruvu is how many mitzvahs are there about having children? Meaning, what exactly are the mitzvahs? What are the nature of each of the mitzvahs? In what way do the mitzvahs differ from each other? So the most fundamental mitzvah, of course, is the mitzvah of Puruvu. The Torah tells us a couple of times in Bereishis Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Ches, Vayivarech Hosam Elokim, Vayomer Lahem Elokim, Puruvu. And then Bereishis Perek Tes, Pasuk Aleph, in Parshas Noach, Vayivarech Elokim Es Noach, Ves Banav, Vayomer Lahem, Pru Urvu Umilu Es Haaretz, that there's a chiyuv both on Adam and on Noach to have children and to populate the world with humanity. The Mishnah Maseches Yevamos and Daf Samachem and Beis tells us that a ish mitzuva al piri v'rivya avalo ha'isha, that a man is chayiv in Pru Urvu, a woman has no chiyuv of Pru Urvu. How do we know that? Meaning, normally we assume if it's not a mitzvah shazman grama, women, of course, would be chayiv. You need some sort of basis to tell me that a woman is pater. So Gemara says, minani mili. How do I know that a woman is not chayiv in Puruvu? Amra bila, mishum rablaz, rabbi shimon, amar kra, umilu asaretz v'kivshuha. That the second half of the pasuk of Puruvu is to populate the world, v'kivshua, and to be kovesh, to conquer the world. Who are the conquerors? Ish darka lichbosh, ve'ein isha darka lichbosh. So it's clear from the second half of the pasuk that the pasuk is talking to men, because men tend to be conquerors, women are not conquerors, and therefore the pasuk does not talk to women at all. Women are not included in the obligation of Pru Urvu. Rav Yosef Amar Mehacha, Vayomer Lo Elokim Ani Kel Shakai Pre Urve. That he has a different basis for the patur of women, but the bottom line is it's very clear in the Mishnah, and the Gemara does not disagree with this. The Gemara confirms this la halacha that men are chayiv in Puruvu, not women. There is a shita in Tanaim that says otherwise. The shita of Rabbi Yochanan Baroka, he disagrees. He also women are also chayiv in Puruvu, but we don't pass in that way, right? It's clear in Shulchan Aruch and Ebenezer. By the way, Puruvu, Ebenezer, Siman Aleph. So if you only open up an Ebenezer once, this year it's going to be for Siman Aleph, right? So that's the mitzvah of Puruvu. So how Ebenezer, and logically it makes sense, how Chelek Ebenezer starts. So clearly the way we paskin, women are not chayiv in Puruvu. Now what's the basis of this mitzvah of Puruvu? What's the idea of the mitzvah of Puruvu? So this is not like the Sefer HaChinuch tries to give a reason for every mitzvah, Mishrashe mitzvah. This is not such a great challenge to figure out what the reason for the mitzvah is, meaning it's a very logical mitzvah. It's not something, this isn't like shatness, where you're trying to figure out what's the big deal, why does it matter so much. It's pretty obvious, but the Sefer HaChinuch writes in Mitzvah Aleph, the very first mitzvah in the Torah, Sheyia Olam Miyushav, that Hashem created this world, He wants people to live in it. Hashem Baruch Hu Chafetz B'Yishuvam, Kidichsiv Lo Sov Ra L'Shevis Yitzara, and He quotes the Pasuk in Yeshaya, the pasuk in the 45th parak of Sefer Yeshaya, that lo sovra lo sheves yitzar, that Hashem did not create the world to be desolate, He created the world to be populated. He says that's a tam for the mitzvah of Puravu, which is very important, meaning the way the Sefer Achilah seems to be understanding is that lo sheves yitzar is not an independent mitzvah, it's an explanation of the mitzvah of Puravu. I mean, there's a mitzvah of Puravu. Why? What's the tam mitzvah? That's what the pasuk in Yeshaya sort of clues us in as to the tam mitzvah. And the Sefer HaChinuch says, "V'i mitzvah gedola." It's a great mitzvah. Shebesibasa miskaymos kol mitzvah shebaolam. It's only on account of Puravu that every other mitzvah can exist. Kiv b'nei adam nit v'lo l'malachei hasharis. Right? We have that phrase Chazal use all the time. L'lo nit the Torah l'malachei hasharis. The Torah was not given to l'malachei hasharis. So who was it given to? It was given to humanity. Well, without humanity, there are no mitzvos. So it's sort of like, you know, similar to how the Rishonim discuss whether Emunah b'Hashem counts as one of the minyan of mitzvos, right? Because you can't have such a thing as a mitzvah without Emunah b'Hashem. Maybe it's too big to be a mitzvah because it's just the foundation. It's just the basis of the idea of a mitzvah implies that there's a mitzvah. So unless you believe in a mitzvah, there can't be a mitzvah. So similar to that discussion, Puravu is so fundamental, it's so basic, it's the most basic of all mitzvahs. Everyone agrees it is a mitzvah, but it's the most basic of all mitzvahs because you can't have any other mitzvahs unless you have people. And people come about because we have a mitzvah of Puravu. That's how the Sefer HaChinuch understands the tam of the mitzvah of Puravu. Rav Moshe in Evna Ezer Chelik Bey Simen Yurches writes, Hamaisa Shenetzdav Priyav Ruvia, Eina Elo Eina Holadas Banim, Tzeina Biyada. He says, well, wait a second. How can I have a mitzvah to have children? Having children is a miracle. It's a miracle that children are ever born. That's not something that a human being can you know, see to fruition, can make sure it happens. It's something that a Kodesh Baruch Hu has to do. It's not biyado to do. Ela ha-mitzvah v'chiv she'alav hu livol ishto biya gemura she'e efshar mizeh laholid. A person has to put in a hishtadlus, meaning a person has to do a bia gemura so that his wife will be able to have children. That's the mitzvah. That's the chiyuv on the person. The Rambam is pretty clear about this as well. The Rambam Nechzishas describes how a person has to fulfill the mitzvah of ona at every possible opportunity where there's a chiyuv ona, up until the point that he has children. Up until the point that he's produced children. So it sounds like the obligation on the person is to do what's within his power to make children. But obviously, you know, we have the recognition that it's not really within our power, that it's up to the Ribbono Shel Olam whether children are going to be produced or not. And that's really the lashon of the, you know, it's the Ha'ar the Marsha has in the Gemara Maseches Shabbos, right? The Gemara Maseches Shabbos says about the big bechina up in Shemayim, Lachronei Ve'esrim, they can be asked six questions up in Shemayim, so Nesasa V'Nesata V'Emuna. So what's the question related to Puravu? Asak the Bepiri Verivya. So the Marsha points out, why not Kiyam to Piri Verivya? Why doesn't the Bechina include the question where you Mekayim the mitzvah of Puravu? So the Marsha over there, if I'm not mistaken, I didn't get a chance to look it up, but I'm pretty sure Marsha over there makes the Ha'ara that, because that's not Biyado, that's not within your control to be Mekayim Puravu. A person can only control whether he's Osek Bepiruvu, whether he tries to do Piri Verivya. It happens to be that there's a fascinating Ha'ara that the Maritzchis, I'm sure you all know this, the Maritzchis is Ha'ara on that Gemara in the name of the Vilna Gaon, that Gemara tells us it's two lines that are juxtaposed to each other. The previous line in the Gemara darshins the whole pasuk of Emunas Itecha, you know, Emunas Asay Dezroi, Itecha Asay Demoed, and it goes through all Shisha Sedarim based on one pasuk Chosin Yeshuos, right? You know, the Zikin and Kachim and Tar, right? It goes through all the all of the Shisha Sedarim based on one pasuk, and then it says, oh, and there's six questions that you're going to be asked up in Shemayim, Lachamei Vashrim, and it goes through the six questions, right? Tzipis Elishua, and you know, all of those questions. So the Maritz Chayis points out that B'Shem Begra, that you see that there's a connection between the two lines, that it's, it can't be a coincidence that there are six words in the pasuk that were darshan related to six. To six different Siddurim of Shas, and then there are six questions up in Shemayim, Lachar Meiv Esrim Shana. And he says clearly the six questions up in Shemayim each relate to one of the different Siddurim in Shas. And they're really all about Talmud Torah, because the Gemara also tells us in Tchilas Dino Shel Adam El Betal Torah, something like that. I forgot the exact lashon. That the Tchilas Dino Shel Adam up in Shemayim is only going to be about Talmud Torah. That the first thing that we're asked is about Talmud Torah, but according to this, to the Gemara in Shabbos, Kavati Itim LaTorah is not question number one. Question number one is Nasas V'Nasata Be'Amuna. So where the Maritz Chayis explains, no, they're all about Talmud Torah. Nasas V'Nasata Be'Amuna, Amuna Zaseh Dezrayim. It means, did you learn Seh Dezrayim? Right? Kavati Itim LaTorah is Itim Zaseh De'Moi. That's about did you learn Seh De'Moi. Asakti Perivirivya, that's Seder Nashin. That they're all about Talmud Torah. That's his miyashid d'stira between the two Gemaras. Whether it's Tchilas Dino Shel Adam, where's that Gemara in Chulin? The Gemara of Tchilas Dino Shel Adam is al
Sanhedrin.
Oh, Sanhedrin. Yeah. Poter Mayim Reishis Madam. Right. So so that's the way that they're miyashid, that the Maritz Chayis quotes from the Gemara to be miyashid d'stira. But the Pashuk reading of the Gemara is a sakti perivirivya, means did you do the mitzvah? Did you do the mitzvah peruvu? But the question is not kiyamta, the question is asakta, because that's how a person does the mitzvah. Now there are lots and lots of details relating to the mitzvah of peruvu. I'll mention some of them, not all of them, but a lot of details relating to this mitzvah, the Gemara in Yevamos. You should really look at if you want to get more details, Minchas Chinuch and Mitzvah Aleph has a lot of fascinating discussions relating to Peruvu, but the Gemara in Yevamos, Samach Aleph and Beis, tells us, Lo Yevatel Adam Miperiv Rivya Elim Kin Yesh Lo Banim. A person cannot stop doing Peruvu until he has children. Beishamayam Shnei Zacharim. How many children? So Beishamay says two boys. Beisilam Zachar Nekeva. One boy, one girl, says Beisil. Shnemar Zachar Nekeva Braam. So Beishamay learns from Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara explains, that Moshe Rabbeinu was Parish Mishta, even though he only had two sons, he didn't have any daughters, right, that we know about. Whereas Beisil learns from Briyasa Shalolam. Zachar Nekeva Braam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created humanity as a Zachar and a Keva, so we're supposed to perpetuate humanity by putting into this world a Zachar and a Keva. So Yerushalmi has that Beisil actually agrees with Beishamai that two sons is enough, but we pass them like the Bavli's version of the Beis Hillel, and the Bavli's version of the Beis Hillel is very clearly one boy, one girl, that's what it takes to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Peruvu. Let's say a person had a son and a daughter, and Rachman al-Tzlan, they died, or one of them died, so now he's vaiter, not being kind of the mitzvah of Puravu, and he has to replace them. He has to have another son or daughter in order to make sure that he left the son and daughter. If each of them already had a child, then he has fulfilled the mitzvah. All of this is paskind in Ebenezer Siman Aleph, it's in Shulchan Aruch Siv Vav, the Rambam in the 15th parak of Hilchos Ishus, parak Tes Vav, Halacha Hay, that you see clearly that the idea of the mitzvah is to perpetuate humanity, that you shouldn't be the end of the chain, right? So that's why if one has already had grandchildren, even though they lost their children, they've already been Mekayim Peruvu, because the chain continues, the chain goes on. And that's their responsibility to make sure that the chain continues. But if their children die and they do not yet have grandchildren, so then they have to, they're still Mechuyav in the mitzvah of Peruvu. There is a discussion in Menosei Kelim in the beginning of an Evan Ezer, the Chalkos Mechokek and Sivkat and Zayin, the Beishmul and Sivkat and Tes, whether the grandchildren have to be a boy and a girl. Meaning, let's say you had a son and a, not you, let's say a person had a son and a daughter, and the daughter has five boys and the son has five boys, no girls, you got 10 grandsons, right? And then the daughter dies. So, is he Mekayim Peruvu? Do you say that since each his son and his daughter have continued the chain, that that's good enough? Or do you say, no, you need to leave on this earth a son, a male and female descendant behind? This doesn't come up so much. Usually by the time people are holding by being grandparents, they're not really in the parish of, if you see like a 75-year-old person who's sitting, Rachman al-Tzlan, sitting Shiva for a child that they lost, they're not typically thinking of, having more children at that point in time, despite all of the miracles that modern medicine, does for us. But it's just, la halacha v'lo l'maisa, I guess you could say. If a person has a son and a daughter and they're a Sris or an Islandist, so Shulchan Aruch Paskins and Sif, you're not the kind of mitzvah for Ravu. They have to be able to have children. I mean, the point is that you should see to it that you left children who can continue the chain. If they're not going to continue the chain, And that's not good enough. Now, clearly, Rav Shachter points out part of the mitzvah of Pur Revu. By the way, to get like a firm grounding in Shkafas HaTorah and Halacha of Pur Revu, in the very first edition, I think, of the Journal of Halacha in Contemporary Society, Rav Shachter published a now famous article on the topic of family planning. So he discusses the mitzvah of Pur Revu, and then in the second half of the article he discusses contraception. Now, the contraception half of the discussion is a bit dated, obviously. There are many more forms of contraception. I think the Journal of Halacha and Contemporary Society started in like, I don't know, 1979 or 1980 or something, so we're going back 40 years. That Rav Shachter wrote this article. Rabbi Al Cohen, who is the editor of the Journal of Halacha and Contemporary Society, writes in an editor's note at the beginning of Rav Shachter's article that you may think that this is not an appropriate article to publish, but we were encouraged by Gedolei Torah to publish such an article and to specifically include as many kulas as we can so that people could be educated when they ask their shailas and not just make assumptions on their own. Meaning sometimes people will go, if you only give chumras and you don't give any kulas, so people will just say, okay, this just isn't for me, and they're not going to ask shailas, and then they'll do things that are very much connected to halacha. So it's very important that people have a balanced picture of things. So Rav Shachter happens to be a pretty big makel in many areas. No one dreamed at the time that there could be an even bigger makel, and that someone who's nowhere near the level of a Gadol B'Torah would publish an article that says, nah, it's okay, you can do whatever you want, you don't need to ask anybody anything. So a person should realize that we have to know who's who. When we're dealing with the future of Klal Yisrael, when we're dealing with the perpetuation of Klal Yisrael, that's not the kind, you don't go to the kind of rabbi that you ask yourself twice whether you should ask a shayla about forgetting Alav Yavam. You know what I'm saying? You want to go to Gedolei Torah to ask such shaylas. There are different levels of Rabbanim. I'm sure whoever it is, I forgot even the name of the fellow that wrote that article to totally reject Rav Shachter and say that you could do whatever you want. I'm sure, you know, he's a bigger Talmud Chacham than me, but I'm not writing articles like this. You know, I'm not taking on Rav Shachter. So it's important to realize who's who in the world of Jewish scholarship and Jewish learning. And so we're going to give all the kulas that Rav Shachter has, but not to Chas V'Shalom just say that, what does a rabbi have to do with this? What does a rabbi have to do with this? Ebenezer, Siman Aleph. I mean, that's what a rabbi has to do with. You have to actually know what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. Of course, a rabbi has a lot to do with this. Gedolei Torah should have a lot to do with this. So anyway, Rav Shachter points out that the mitzvah of Pur Revu includes a mitzvah of raising children the Torah, the mitzvahs, which would mean when we take into account what are possible reasons to stop having children or to delay having further children, if a person feels an inability to raise them with Torah L'mitzvos, that's going to be a major factor, or if they think that having more children will prevent them from being able to raise the children that they currently have the Torah L'mitzvos, I think the kid's going to go nuts and go off the derech or whatever. So that's also a very important factor. But nevertheless, the Levush paskins in the beginning of Ebenezer that you are Yotzei the mitzvah even if the kids are not Shomrei Torah L'mitzvos. Right, you're still Yotzei Mitzvah. Isn't it going to be the end of the chain? Isn't it going to be that they may not do Pur Revu? They may not perpetuate Klal Yisrael. The assumption is that they'll have children and that ultimately people will come back. It happens to be the reality in the United States is such that with an intermarriage rate approaching 80%, that there's a very high likelihood that if the children are not Shomrei Torah Mitzvah, that the grandchildren, if the children are boys, that the grandchildren will not be Jewish. If the children are girls, that the great-grandchildren will not be Jewish, meaning it's a very high likelihood that will happen. But nevertheless, the Levush Paskins Meikra Din, we do have a certain emunah in Klal Yisrael that we're going to do tshuva, and that's going to bring Mashiach, right? We assume that since Mashiach is only going to come when Klal Yisrael does tshuva, so that's what Salvechik pointed out, we have to have a belief in Klal Yisrael that they're going to do tshuva. I was listening, someone sent me a question and answer session they did with Rav Tversky in Yeshiva Spain a semester, and they asked, what if you can't believe that Klal Yisrael is going to do tshuva tomorrow? Does that make you an apikoros? It's a good question. But we should believe that Klal Yisrael has the capacity for tshuva. Rav Nevenstahl paskins that if the kids aren't Balei Deya in the Sifrei Machon Pua, they quoted Rav Nevinsal in Shuvas that he wrote to Machon Pua, that if the kids aren't Balei Deah, they're developmentally disabled, that you're still Yotzei the mitzvah of Puruvu with children who are not Balei Deah, as long as they're physically able to have children. Then there's the comment of Chachma Shlomo at the beginning of Ibn Ezer, and in the classic Shulchan Aruch on the very first page in Ibn Ezer, on the side at the bottom of the page, I was looking in the new fancy Shulchan Aruch, I couldn't find it, I'm sure it's in there somewhere, but the Shlomo Kluger in Ibn Ezer, Siman Aleph, points out that adopting is also a partial key mitzvah of Puruvu, meaning one adopts a Jewish child and raises that Jewish child, if they're unable to have children of their own, it's not the fullest kiyama mitzvah, it's not their biological child, but it's a partial kiyama mitzvah. Mehechi teisir, it's a partial kiyama mitzvah. Just a moment, the Gemara Sanhedrin, daf yitasan beis, kol megadol yasam besoch beiso, is kiilu yilado, that anyone who's megadol yasam or yasoma besoch beiso, you raise a child that doesn't have parents to raise them in your own home, and they're Jewish children, so that's kiilu yilado, that's as if you bore those children, and therefore it's a partial kiyama mitzvah. And that's why Rosh Shlomo Kluger suggests that if a couple can't have children, which is less and less frequent nowadays, it just takes a lot more money and agmas nefesh and time and effort when people have infertility issues, but if you have a couple that for whatever reason is not able to have children bichlal, so the recommendation is that they should adopt children, and that will make it ki'ilu yilado, meaning we view that, the chiddush of Shlomo Kluger, is that it's not just an agadita, that that's like a halachic reality. It's ki'ilu yilado on a halachic level. There's a comment of the Maharal Niprag in the Gor Aryeh in yesterday's Parsha, and Parsha Shmos, that understands that it's a reality on a metaphysical level as well, that when the Itztagnine Paro couldn't tell whether the Moshiach Shel Yisrael was going to be a Jewish boy or a son of a Jewish woman or a son of a non-Jewish woman, a son of a Mitzri woman, and therefore they made that decree for that one day to throw all the baby boys born that day into the Nile. So the Maral points out, how could the Itztagnine Paro not see it? How did they mess up? These were the world's experts in reading the stars. How did they not see it? So he said, no, they were reading the stars perfectly correctly. But the problem was that the stars were not abundantly clear, because while Moshe Rabbeinu was physically the child of a Jewish woman, he was raised by a non-Jewish woman. So he was raised by a non-Jew, he was raised by the Bas Paro. So that actually affected how to read in the stars, meaning it's a reality that Chazal are telling us. That it's not just stam a nice idea that you're doing a big mitzvah, it's a really nice thing. No, it's like a reality. It becomes like your child in the sense that even in the metaphysical world and in the physical world, it has expression in the physical world. And the Chiddush of Shlomo Kluger, it has an impact on the halachic world. That halachically, it's as if you had a child. It's yadua that the Lubavitcher Rebbe was very against adoption. Lubavitcher Rebbe held that people shouldn't do adoption. And adoption is somewhat tricky, because if you adopt a Jewish child, you have to make sure that the child's not a mamzer or whatever, because there could be a lot of times if a child is abandoned, there's a reason that there's a backstory that led to the abandonment of that child, and that could be like organizations like Ohel are very helpful in terms of helping to know where the child came from, so they could provide a Jewish child who they can verify is not a mamzer. So that's how. But it used to be the derech, the mahalich used to be people would only adopt non-Jewish children for that reason, because they were afraid of mamzerus, and non-Jewish child, you don't have mamzerus issues. So nowadays you can adopt Jewish children, and there are organizations that are familiar enough with the background of the child, with what the story is, to be able to let you know that the baby is not a mamzer. So that's ki'ilu yilado. Some questions.
I'll be the Maharal, and also what you're just saying about mamzerus. It sounds like even if the parents are still alive, if you adopt the child, you're Mekayim.
Yeah, so that's what Rav Shaftah points out, that what the Gemara is trying to tell us is that there are two elements to the mitzvah. There's actually physically bringing the child into the world, but you're not done yet when you bring the child into the world. You then have to raise the child, the Torah, the mitzvahs. So the parent who raises the child, the Torah, the mitzvahs, is also being Mekayim, partial Puruvu. Whether the child sits Shiva for an adoptive parent, there's a fascinating discussion in Halacha. Right, probably is most poskim assume he's allowed to volunteer to sit Shiva, but he's not mechuyev to sit Shiva for an adoptive parent. There's a whole sefer on adoption in Halacha. written by what's the fellow's name? He was like a childhood friend of Rav Meir Goldwich, grew up in Shari Chesed together with Meir Goldwich, a very fascinating fellow. I forgot his name. He wrote like, I don't know, 35 Svarim or something. I went to his house once to pick up one of his Svarim, and he's got a giant picture, runs like the length of this whiteboard, of himself with all of his Svarim like this in his house. Very unusual. But but he has a very nice sefer on adopting children. Question? Ben?
What exactly was, two questions, what exactly was the Lubavitcher's Rebbe, or Lubavitcher's reason for being against adoption? And two, don't we generally assume that if it's, we're not sure whether or not the child's mom's there, we pass them a hula?
Yeah, but you know, you can understand why the risk is much higher when you're dealing with adopted children.
So therefore, we don't assume the hula.
Whether we assume the cooler or not, we're afraid that information might come out at some point. So, you could understand the anxiety of it. Lubavitcher Rebbe's reason, I'm sure, is a matter of public record. I'm just not that familiar with our Lubavitchers aren't here to inform us, but I'm sure is a matter of, I'm sure he's written about it, but it's Yadua that he didn't approve of that, with one exception that I know of. I'm going to a chasana today, where that family was the one exception that I know of. Did I tell you the story? Yeah, so that's the exception today. The Lubavitcher said adopt, and you'll see you'll be blessed with two sons. They adopted, they had one son, they were going to stop, and then Lubavitcher said, no, I told you two, and the second son is getting married today. Lubavitcher himself didn't have children, and he never adopted. Right? So he apparently didn't, he really, really held against it.
It's an interesting idea that Rabbi Tolshin says that someone asked him at an event why the Lubavitcher Rebbe didn't adopt, to explain the Shita, and that Lubavitcher Rebbe apparently regularly would refer people to Rav Soloveitchik to ask their shayla about adoption because he knew that he would be machmir on them.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. They sent people to the Rav. Okay.
Also, why would people not adopt a mamzer? What's the problem?
It's just that's why you're not going to have grandchildren. You're not going to, there's a whole shayla in Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Aleph whether it's a key mitzvah pruvu to have a mamzer, to have a ben mamzer. Right? Let's say you're a mamzer, so your kid is going to be a mamzer. So should you have children or not? Do you say it's the Ribon Shalom's cheshbon, but I have to bring children into the world, or no? That I'm trying being marbe mamzer and be Israel is a terrible thing to do. So you don't want to be marbe mamzer and be Israel. That's certainly something you can understand. The family doesn't want to bring in a mamzer. Okay. Yeah, weiter. What about women and the mitzvah of Purvus? As we said, women are not obligated. However, the Ran in Maseches Kiddushin, Daf Tezayin and Beis, Bedape Arif, and in Truvas Haran, Siman Lamed Beis, writes that Afal Pi Sheisha in a mitzvah Peri Vrivya, Mekomakum Yesh Li Isha mitzvah, Mepnei Shehi Mesayayas Laba, Lekai Mitzvah. So she still has a requirement to help the husband be mekayim his mitzvah, right? What's the context of that passage in the Ran? The Ran is at the very beginning of the second parak of Maseches Kiddushin. How does the second parak of Maseches Kiddushin start? Hish mekadesh bo'u b'shlucho, right? So with the Gemara, b'shlucho, if he's mekadesh b'shlucho, bo mi bayi, the Gemara asks. The Gemara says, mitzvah bo, yosem mi b'shlucho. That it's a mitzvah to be mekadesh, do it himself, yosem b'shlucho. And the Gemara goes on to say, mitzvah ba, yosem mi b'shlucho, that she's miskadeshes, ba u b'shlucho. The woman doesn't have to show up to her own wedding either. She can send a shliach, but it's better for her to show up to her own wedding. So the Ran discusses, what mitzvah are we talking about exactly that she's going to be doing when she shows up to her own wedding? I understand the man is doing the mitzvah, at least a hechsher mitzvah puravu, getting married in order to be able to have children. The woman's a mechuyav in puravu. So what kind of mitzvah are you doing? So if you hope that getting married is a mitzvah, is an independent mitzvah, so then fine. But the other half of the Rishonim that assume getting married is not an independent mitzvah, according to Rosh and Rambam, that getting married is not an independent mitzvah. So where, and it's all a mitzvah puravu, where's the woman's mitzvah puravu? So says the Ran, she has a mitzvah to help out, meaning when a mitzvah can't be done but for your participation, even though you're not the one that's mechuyav bedavar, it's understood that you have a mitzvah to help out. That's why every time I meet with the Chasana Kala, and they whenever a couple says we want to schmooze with you, so it's always obvious what the issue is. They don't want to talk about family planning. So we always start the conversation by just giving some background to the mitzvah purvu. And we say, the mitzvah is your mitzvah, but it would be really, really nice if you would help him out, because he can't do the mitzvah without you. You say to the woman that that she obviously, and that creates a sort of chiyuv, similar to, I think the Torah's Mim points this out in Parshas Naso, similar to the role of Yisrael in Birchus Kohan, in being misbarech, right? Meaning, you have a bunch of Kohanim, it's great that it's their mitzvah to be mevarech, Klal Yisrael to be mevarech v'tzibur, but if there are no people to receive the bracha, then the Kohanim can't do their mitzvah. So we have a requirement to participate in order to receive the bracha. And that's why a person is supposed to be a mensch. You're supposed to be in front of the Kohanim to receive the bracha, not be off to the side where you can't receive the bracha properly. And you're supposed to, Rav Shachter points out, you're supposed to look at the Kohanim, assuming their hands are under the talus. So you look at them, because a mensch looks at someone when they're trying to give you a bracha. You don't look away from them when they're trying to give you a bracha. That's why Rav Shachter always looks right at the Kohanim. Everyone else has their face covered with the talus, and he's looking right at the Kohanim, because they have their hands covered anyway. So there's no issue of looking at their hands. But anyway, but that's the comment of the Ran. The Chassam Sofer in the Tshuva in Ebn Ezra Chelek Aleph Simon Chav, and Tzitz Eliezer quotes this and brings other Mar Mekavos in Chelek Vav Simon Membeis Parak Dalid Os Aleph, says that now that we have Chaimitz Rabbeinu Gershom, it's not like the husband has another option of how to be Mekayim Peruvul. He's got a wife and that's it. So then she must help her husband fulfill the mitzvah. She really doesn't have a choice anymore. Meaning it used to be if a man can marry as many women as he wanted, so then fine, you could say that the woman doesn't have to be Messiah, she doesn't have to help the Baal. And now there's a Chaimitz Rabbeinu Gershom and he's limited, he's only allowed to be married to one woman, so and we don't do whatchamacallits anymore. We don't do Pilagesh anymore, Pilagshim anymore. So it's not the yeshivish thing to do, to have Pilagesh. Although every once in a while there's some chacham that digs up the Rav Yaakov Emden that's all in favor of Pilagshim and says, oh, we could solve the Shidduch crisis just to have the girls to become Pilagshim or whatever. No, not a brilliant idea. We should all move to Utah. Leaving that aside, we assume that since that's the only option is the one woman that he's married to, so Mela, that creates a sort of chiyuv on her. But we understand that her chiyuv is not the same as his chiyuv. I mean, his chiyuv is directly in the Torah, and that's the chiyuv of Purvu. Her chiyuv is sort of like, because he has a chiyuv, so she has to be included in some way or another. Why doesn't she have a direct chiyuv? So that question really shouldn't bother us terribly. Meaning, I don't know, why anything? Ratzon Hashem. But the Meshech Chachma, in a famous passage, does get into it. He does get into why it is that she does not have a chiyuv. So Meshech Chachma, in Bereishis, Perek Tes, Pasuk Zayin, he says, Lo Rachel Kulomar, Hashe Patra Torah Nashim Mipiri Virivya V'chiva Rak Anashim, Ki Mishpitei Hashem Udrachav Darchei Noam V'chol Nesivos Seho Shalom. He says it could be that the reason that women are parted from Puruvu is because Dracha Hadarchei Noam and Chol Nesivos Seho Shalom, the Torah is pleasant, the Torah is sweet, the Torah is kind. V'lo Amsa Ali Yisraeli Masha'ein B'yecholas Haguf L'kabel. And the Torah would not impose upon a person that which is more than the physical body can really easily handle. Umikal davar aser lomana Torah besuga haheter. And just like Kemoshan Parakalabasa, the Gemara in Parakalabasa tells us that whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu asered in this world, he created a davar mutter kenegdo, meaning he asered chazer, but there's something else that tastes, this faking, there's something else that tastes just like it that will give you that same geschmack, meaning we're not losing out on anything as a result of a davar aser. Umishum ze lo matzanu mitzvah lehisanos rak yom echad b'shana, and that's why there's only a mitzvah one day out of the whole year to fast, meaning before the Rabbanan added in all the rabbinic fasts, only one day of the whole year, and even on that day, the Torah tells us that we should eat before that day, so that it wouldn't be too difficult. That's an assumption also. It's a major machlok, is why we have a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. Most suggest that it relates to a hachana for not eating on Yom Kippur, that we shouldn't be too hungry. Others say that no, adrabba, it's more of an inui, that when you overeat, so then your body goes in overdrive and you you become even more hungry. But whatever it is, Mesh Chachma seems to assume that it makes the fast easier on us. V'chein lo mana ha-mishkal mikol banel levad mimosh rabbeinu fi shalo ayat sarich legodl ma'alaso lezihirus kufo v'yosim izabu mocham v'esan itzachum legodl ha-chom barachavas ha-leiv yada kaldeos ki ozlo yitachin latzer bararuach be'ez chashcha b'isha yifas tawar. He goes through all the times that the Torah tells us, given, you know, that we're not going to, that the Torah is not going to be overly demanding. Soldiers out of war and testosterone is raging, so he has a heter yifas tawar. Then he says, Darchinoam is a well-established principle in halacha. If a person was pater from Yibum because the brother had children, and then the brother's children die, we don't say, oh, now it turns out she was chayiv in Yibum, and she has to divorce the husband that she remarried. No, Darchinoam. Darchinoam. In Cain, Nashim shemistaknos piibur veleda. So a woman who's, it's dangerous to have children. A woman, the mortality rate of women in childbirth up until like 100 years ago. We're not going back thousands of years. In the times of the Meshech Chachma, right? Still, the mortality rate was unbelievable. Mishamze amru misa shchicha. Ayn tos pegimun beiz. Yivam asam misa shchicha. The Torah can't tell a woman, or wouldn't tell a woman to do that which is inherently dangerous. Rav Moshe assumes even bismanenu that childbirth is inherently dangerous, even though statistically it's no longer dangerous. Right? Statistically, a woman delivers in a hospital, and they're professionals, they know what they're doing, and she's had nutrition with prenatal vitamins, v'chule, v'chule. So the mortality rate of a woman in childbirth is very, 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 very low in America in the year 2020. But Rav Moshe assumes it's still an inherently dangerous thing. Well, what's the context of that, Rav Moshe? What's the tshuva? Inducing labor, right? Rav Moshe is against inducing labor because he says there's a special bracha that you have when a Kodesh Baruch Hu puts you in labor, that some sort of special bracha that things will be okay. But if you're going to do it on your own terms, so then you're just bringing about sakana without the special bracha of Kodesh Baruch Hu. So Rav Moshe is very against inducing labor. Obviously, if doctors tell you that they need to, because otherwise it's going to be dangerous. You know, the amniotic fluid is very low, or the baby's getting too big. Whatever their concern is, they're going to have to do a C-section if they don't induce, and a C-section is surgery. We always assume that's more dangerous. It's also more limiting for her future in terms of how many children. You can only cut open the uterus so many times. Then obviously that would be a different story, but a lot of times doctors want to induce just because they're going on vacation next week, and they know that the patient's going to be disappointed if it's some other doctor that delivers them, and the doctor's therefore doing it to allow for their vacation, which medically makes sense, meaning you understand why. There's no statistic that tells you that inducing labor is more dangerous than non-induced labor. So doctors sometimes want to do things like that. So that's what Moshe says, that's a bad idea, that we shouldn't do that. So that's the context that he says, that we consider it to still be dangerous. But certainly, for the large majority of human history, it was an extraordinarily dangerous thing, and therefore it can't be that the Torah is mechayev a woman. Okay, we'll get to that later about the types of contraception. But he says, so what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to balance that is to create this great tshuka for a woman to have children. That all women have this built-in tremendous desire, or the large majority of women have this built-in tremendous desire to have children. So that it's on their terms. They're the ones that want to have the children, but it's not the Torah that's demanding it of them. They're the ones that are, right? Without children, I feel like I'm dead. She feels like her life is not fulfilled. So that is the mitzvah of Pruravu.
Yeah. How does Meshech Achor make sense in the context that the Torah is Machayev the guy to do that to her?
It's his chiyuv, but she's going to want it. She's going to want it. That's how Kodesh Baruch Hu built that into the Teva. But a mitzvah satorah has to be zecher d'achinoam. The second mitzvah that's relevant, and as I alluded to before, it's a discussion whether it's a second mitzvah or just the explanation for the first mitzvah, is the Pasuk in Yeshayahu. Lo sovra l'sheves yitzavra. Pru Ravu is a personal obligation. It seems that Sheves is a more general societal obligation to enhance Yishuv Ha'olam. That's a Mishnah Gittin Mem Alvim Beis in Eduyos, Paragalef, Mishnah Yud Gimel, in the first paragraph of Basra as well, in the context of the Chatzi Eved, the Chatzi Ben Chorin. Right? That's one of the, it's Mimsech Seduyos, because Mimsech Seduyos have a series of Mishnayos, Mechazu Beisil Lahoros Kedivrei Beishamai, that there was Mechogs Beisil Beishamai, and then Beisil said, you know what, your idea is better, and they changed their mind. So what do you do with the Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin? So first the Eitzah was, he'll split his work. He'll work for himself one day, he'll work for his master one day. So they said, well, wait a second, Tikantamas Rabo, but Vesatzma Lotike. You took care of the master, so the master is getting half the work. But what about the guy? The guy's not going to be able to have any children. And that's terrible, because the Shavas Yitzara. So in that context, it seems that the Gemara quotes only L'Sheves Yitzar. It's a big discussion in Tosfos, both in Bava Basra and in Gittin, why the Gemara does not quote the Pasuk of Puravu, only quotes the Pasuk of L'Sheves Yitzar. But it seems that L'Sheves Yitzar is why Hashem created the world, not about my personal obligation, but Hashem created the world so that the world as a whole will be populated. How many kids does it take to fulfill Sheves? We know how many it takes to fulfill Puravu. So the Taz writes, a ben and a bas, the same gedarim as Puravu. In the Netziv, in Hemek Sheila, She'ilti Yud Chesiv Katan Beis, he says, no, the Sheves is just one child, a ben or bas. And Muke Yosef, in Yevamos Daf Chaf Amaral B'Daf Erif, he says, two children, but it doesn't matter about the gender. Meaning that it's a different geder than Puravu. This will be totally, probably, in the issue that we said before. Right? Is L'Sheves Yitzara part of the mitzvah of Puravu, the explanation for the mitzvah of Puravu, or is it an independent mitzvah? If it's an independent mitzvah, it could have independent gedarim. If it's an explanation for Puravu, it's got to follow the gedarim of Puravu. And that also relates to whether a woman is chayiv in Sheves. The Rivam in Gittin over there, in that Tosos, Mem Alvim Beis, and Babas Yud Gimel Meralv, Dibra Maschel Shnemar, holds that an Eved is chayiv, right? In L'Sheves Yitzara. And that's why the Mishnah brings the Pasuk of L'Sheves in the context of Chatziyev and Chatziyev and Chorin. I mean, we're saying, what's this guy supposed to do? He's a Chatziyev and Chatziyev and Chorin. How's he supposed to fill the mitzvah of L'Sheves? So Frek Tosos, what do you mean? Why don't you quote the Pasuk of Puravu? So the answer is Tosfos, because Puravu only is Chatziyev and Chorin is chayivin. We want to quote a mitzvah that his entire being is chayivin. So even the Chatzi Eved is Chayiv in L'Sheves. So Magen Avraham and Kufnun and Gimel, Sivkat and Tess, and the Beis Shmuel, and in Eben Ezer, right at the beginning, Sivkat and Beis, assumes that if that's true of an Eved, so an Eved is Chayiv in Mitzvos, Ke? Isha. So an Isha is also Chayiv in Sheves. So that's one assumption. However, the Beis Shmuel, based on the Tosfos Chagiga of Beis on Beis, and the Ramah in Ebenezer, Sif Yud Gimel, Siman Aleph Sif Yud Gimel, what does it say in Siman Aleph Sif Yud Gimel? The Shulchan Aruch says, Isha Inam Mitzuvah Periv Rivya. Right, a woman has a Chiv Periv Rivya. Says the Ramah, Umakam Makam Yesha Omrim Telo Samad Below Ish Mishum Chashada. A woman should still get married even though she has no Mitzvah Periv Rivya because of Chashad. What kind of Chashad? They'll assume that she's satisfying sexual urges one way or another. So it's a bad idea for her to stay unmarried. What's the obvious kash on the Ramah? On the Ramah? Say L'Sheves. That's why she has to get married. So you see that the whole reason she has to get married is only Mishum Chashada and not Mishum Mitzvah Sheves. So you see that a woman is not Chayiv in the Mitzvah Sheves. The Archa Shulchan, based on the Ramah in Yisrei Bia, Parachavav Halachavav, says that it is not independent of Puravu, but it is an explanation of Puravu. That's what the Aruch Shulchan writes. Yesh mehagadolim shekasvu. Sheyisha av sheinu mitzuvah al Puravu mikol mekol chayavs b'l'sheves yitzar. Says some gedolim hold that a woman is not chayav in Puravu, but is chayav in Sheves. Like we said, the Rivam. The Rivam says an Eved, so we can rightfully assume that the Rivam would say an Isha as well. Ve'inikr l'dvar malalu, says the Aruch Shulchan, but it's wrong. Dekol ikr mitzvos puruvu hu mitam sheves. Right? He's firmly in the camp that sheves is the explanation of puruvu. Like who? Like who did we see? Sefer HaChinuch, right? Sefer HaChinuch is the one that said that. It's mitam sheves. Ve'nashim kibish lan savul puruvu mil lan savul sheves itzara. Ve'chein muchach mitivar Rambam. And we call a poskin. She'ein shum chiyuv mutal al isha. V'raya brura lazeh. Says, I'll bring you a raya brura. Mashamru chazal. D'mamniya mi isha inu yachol laholid. Eini isha yachol l'chofu she'igar shena. Let's say a man is unable to have children. Can the woman say, I want a divorce? And force him to divorce her? So, no, he cannot. Paskin sum kufnun dal. V'nomar dihi mifkedes ha-sheves. Lama lo tucha l'chofu. But if she has a mitzvah to do, and being married to him prevents her from her mitzvah, why can't she force him? Vein emes, Rabbi Sein Abali Atos Kasu Disha Shaykh Nami B'Sheves. He says, I know the Rivam, I know Gittin Mem Aleph, I know Babasri Yud Gimel. Avol ein kavanosum shemuchiyavos b'Sheves. It doesn't really mean muchiyavos b'Sheves, el d'shayachos b'Sheves. But that she's Shaykh in Sheves, but not Mitzuva in Sheves. Ubevada kenu shegam hein marbin b'yishuv shalolam. Meaning, when a woman participates in having children, she is creating a reality of l'sheves yitzara, of populating the world, fulfilling the ratzon Hashem. But it's not a chiyuv that she has to do. The l'sheves yitzara ain't a tzivu. It's not even l'sheves tzivu. It's sipur devarim da kodesh baruch hu bara olamo l'sheves yashvu b'bnei adam v'kam nashim b'chlal. Meaning that it's just explaining why Hashem created the world. And that's why, by Chetz Shiv, Chetz Baschor, Shein Yichol Linasei, Lo Lev, Lo Ben Chor, Dil Mala Yinu Betuchim, Shetinasei Liish, Heinu Kofnes Rabbi Shei Shachro, Lo Yaakev, Yishuv V'Sholom, Elo Mishum Deinu Betuchim, Shetinasei, Kivin Sheinu Metzuva. Meaning, what's, if you learn the sugi over there in Gittin and Bob Basra, the reason why we're not going to force, tell us to raise the kasha, why don't we tell, why is it Chatzi Yev and Chatzi Ben Chor, what about Chatzi Shiv, Chatzi Baschorin? So tell us, well, she has no mitzvah for Ravu. So she may not get married anyway. I mean, you're going to force the master to free her, then she might say, yeah, I'm not getting married. So what was it all of it for? So it says the Aruch HaShulchan, what you see over there is that there is no mitzvah of sheves that will compel her to get married. It's just that when she has children, she's participating in the mitzvah of l'sheves yitzara. So that's the Aruch HaShulchan. Meaning very strongly in the camp, the Aruch HaShulchan, very strongly in the camp of those who say that L'sheves Yitzar is an explanation of the mitzvah of Pur Ravu, but it's not an independent chiyuv. Mitzvah number three that relates to having children, the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Nasa Adam Yishu B'Yaldusa, let's say a person was married to a woman when he was young, and then, whatever, she died, they got divorced, he's no longer married. Yisa Isha B'Ziknusa. He should get remarried, even when he gets older. Okay, meaning it's right that a man should be married. I was just reading in the biography of Rav Edelstein, of Yaakov Edelstein, of Gershon's brother. Is the Rav in Raman HaSharon, which I think was largely Chiloni neighborhood, but he was an Adam Gadol Ad Ma'od. So Sivan and Yedidya Meir wrote a biography of him, an art school translated it. So very, very nice stuff. So it says that his wife died when she was like 74, and Rav Edelstein got remarried, and he told people, he like announced that it's chasana. I didn't want to get remarried, but everyone told me I have to. Rav Buzman Paskind, I have to. And he said, I went to all the good women. And he said, I'm very excited that I found such a lovely woman or whatever. But you know, he said, like, I really miss my wife. And, you know, it wasn't. Yeah, Shem Brachas Torah. So his second wife was a Balas Tshuva, which is also fascinating. He said that he was so excited. She told him during the first week after they were married that even when she was living on the kibbutz, she never ate mevilas and treifas, and he was super excited by that. Wow! No, timtum aleiv or whatever. Okay. Anyway, so the Gemara there says that not only is it good for a person to be married, Hayulo banim bialdu, so yulo banim bezeknusam. If a person had children when he was young, he shouldn't say, I'm done. He should have more children when he get older. Shneemar, bebokar zora zorecha le'erval tanich yedecha, ki eimcha yodeh eze yichshar hazeh ozev, im shneem ke'echa tov. You don't know which one's going to be the best. Right? Maybe the older kids are going to be a bunch of good-for-nothings, and the youngest child is going to be the one that brings you the most nachas. You have no idea which one is going to bring you the most nachas. Pasuk and Koheles. So that's a third potential mitzvah over here of having children. That a letter of al tanich yadech. The Rambam in the 15th parak of Hilchas Yishus paskins this. Afal pi shekiyim ad mitzvahs per v'rivya. Hareu mitzvah midivrei sofrim shelo yevatel milifros v'lirbos. Even after you've been mekayim the mitzvah, don't stop. Kol zman sheyesh lo koach. As long as you have the ability. Shekol ha-mosif nefesh achz miyisrael ki leban ha-olam. If you're mosif nefesh achz miyisrael, it's as if you built a whole new world. That's how valuable the Nefesh Achas Mi'Yisrael is. Rav Zilberstein pointed out that he heard from Rav Shach that Rav Shach was the youngest of 13 children. What happened to the others? They all got killed in the Holocaust. They were all murdered in the Holocaust. So one of his parents would have stopped after 12. Right? That's the pasuk. You don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. And you never know. Maybe the youngest one. And the world was zocher to Rav Shach because they didn't stop after 12 that they had 13 children. Wow. Is it a chiyuv of Le'erev Al Tanich Yedecha? So, meaning Le'erev Al Tanich Yedecha is clearly more than the Shabbos. The Shabbos at most is a son and a daughter, right? The most mach mirshita, meaning when you've been mekayim peruvu, you've been mekayim in Shabbos already. Obviously, the more people you bring into the world, the more you're making the world populated, so it's an additional kiyum of l'shevis with each child. But you no longer are chayv in l'shevis after a son and a daughter. But l'erev al tanich yedecha means you've already been mekayim peruvu, and now just having more children. So is that a real chiyuv? Or is it something less than a chiyuv? Most contemporary poskim, when you talk to them, will tell you, of course it's chiyuv. Right? Absolutely. It's not so pasha though. And Rav Shechter says, of course not. Of course it's a Midas Chasidus of the Shabbos Yitzhar. That's why he formulated the Midas Chasidus. So it's Machlokes Rishon. The Ramban and the Malchamos and Yivam Estav Chafam Alav B'dapei Rif. So it's not Allah. It's a Jewish value. That's what Rav Shechter assumes Allah. Rav Shechter assumes based on Orach HaShulchan, Siman Alav Sivches. The Orach HaShulchan's understanding of the Ramban. Generally, somebody who doesn't fulfill mitzvahs rabbanan could be called a chote. But someone who fails to fulfill l'erev al tanich yedecha can't be called a chote. Why? Because it's not really mitzvah rabbanan. That's why the Gemara in Basra of Samach says that during Roman persecutions, they wanted to do away with puruvu, but it would have been gzeirah shein rav tzibri chol lamad bo, so they decided not to do away with puruvu. So all three shonim frak the kasha. Do away with puruvu? Are you kidding? So, Mr. Doraisa, how could you possibly do away with Puruvu? What's the Hava Mina? Right? The Gemara says, Bambas Dav Sangs, where it goes through all the Zechel Churban things. Right? So, you have the Yavna Alama, you have the Yavna Mikkel Barosh Chassan, you have okay, so do away with Puruvu. They also had a Hava Mina not to eat meat, not to drink wine, ever again, until we have a Beis HaMikdash. But then, you know, they decided that also was ridiculous, because then what? You're not going to have Lechem because there's a Karban Mincha, you're not going to have water because there's Nisach HaMayim. Everything's going to remind you of something in the Beis HaMikdash. But the Rishonim asked the Kasha, what do you mean do away with Puruvu? So Tosfos explained they never could have done away with the actual mitzvah d'oraisa. It means that they were planning on doing away with l'erev al tanich yadech. That's what they were going to do away with. Meaning have your son and a daughter and then stop. That was the Hava Mina. Rav Shechter points out that the reason for Puruvu may have changed after Matan Torah. In his article he points this out. The Bach in Hilchos Sukkah, famous Bach, says that whenever the Torah gives the reason to do a mitzvah, like Leman Yedu Dorasechem Kibisukos Hashavti as Bnei Yisrael, right? What does the Bach say? They have to, and Mishmur quotes this, right? They have to have kavana for not just normally mitzvah six kavana, you just have kavana that you're doing the Ratzon Hashem, but when there's a Leman Yedu, you have to have kavana for the reasons for the mitzvah also. You have to have kavana for the underlying theme of the mitzvah. And that's why the Bach explains the Tor Paskins in the Machlokas, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Lazar, whether Sukkos is Lezecha, the Ananiya Kavod, Lezecha Sukkos Mamish, So the Torah paskins in that machlokas. So says the Bach, why are you paskining? It's not gadato. Who cares? So says the Bach, no, it's a ichaps nafkamina la halacha. Because when it says l'man yedu, it means that you can not only have to have kavana that there is, that you're doing a mitzvah Hashem, but what the reason is. So you have to have kavana in your sukkah that you're sitting in something that's either l'zecher sukkah's mamish or l'zecher ananiyah kavod. The purpose of the mitzvah. So Rav Shachter quotes that in the Derech Pikudecha on page Lamed Tes, he says that Puruvu is in this category. Because the Torah says Puruvu milus ha'aretz v'kif shua. Indicating the reason for the mitzvah is to preserve mankind. It's also v'ra'al l'shevis yitzar. But it's pretty much mufurish in the pasuk in Chumash itself. And therefore, when you do Puruvu, you have to have in mind that that's what you're trying to do. Wow. Shachter pointed out that that's not necessarily true. I mean, even if you accept everything, even if you accept the Bach, and you accept that the pasuk is actually telling us the reason for the mitzvah, it still might not necessarily be true that we have to have in mind that we're populating the world. Because he points out that the reason for the mitzvah likely changed after Matan Torah. Meaning, Goyim were mitzvah and Peruvu. They're no longer mitzvah and Peruvu after Matan Torah. Shavu lechem la'alechem, Lechem Olam, Shavu lechem la'alechem, is our mitzvah to go back after Matan Torah and have children. So, and that pasuk doesn't give a reason for it. So it could be we no longer need to have kavana to preserve mankind. So it could be on that level, Lasheves is really independent of Puruvu. Meaning in Chinami, Lasheves Yitzhar would have been the explanation of Puruvu pre-Matan Torah. But now maybe it's a separate mitzvah. Anyway, that's the shita of the Ramban. The Ramban's shita is that it's not a halacha. It's a Jewish value to have large families. The Balamor, however, holds that it's a halacha. The Yamshel Shlomo in the sixth parak of Yevamos also holds that way, that it's a halacha. Okay, but what does that mean exactly? How many kids do you have to fulfill the Sheves? So most of the poskim, I think, and in the Sifrei Machlon Pua, they quote Rav Zilberstein, Rav Nevensal, Rav Menashe Klein, Rav Chaim Kanievsky. They say no limit, however many Hashem gives you. Obviously subjective to reasonable standards. If she can't physically or emotionally have more children, whatever the number she's at right now, 3, 5, 10, 15, whatever it is for that woman, different people have different, then they fulfill the Darav Al Tanach Yedecha, meaning when they hit their max of what they can reasonably handle, they fit Larav Al Tanach Yedecha. Rav Zilberstein in Shiri Torah L'Rof in Chilek Dalit, Simon Reish Nun Zayin, right, that's the write-ups of his weekly shiur that he gives to doctors. He writes that if a couple stops having kids when they get older because they're concerned for having developmentally disabled children, because when you get older the risks become much higher, he says they've already fulfilled Larav Al Tanach Yedecha. He doesn't think that that's correct to do, but he thinks they've already fulfilled Larav Al Tanach Yedecha. He says the cheshbon is incorrect. If there's a gzar din min hashamayim, that you can have certain yisurin, so you'll have it one way or the other. That's what he thinks. I think Rav Shachter would strongly disagree with that. But he thinks that at least they fulfilled Larav Al Tanach Yedecha. Rav Shachter, and it really appears, I saw in the Sifrei Machlon Pua, I didn't have a chance to look it up, in the Luach Dinim, at the end of the Nemuka Yosef in Yevamos, Os Samach, if someone can look that up, Linad, I'll try it. I'm going to Chasen, I don't know if I'm enough time. Even though it doesn't appear in the actual Nemuka Yosef, but like in the Kitzer version at the end, Os Samach, it says that Lashevis means one more son, one more daughter. Meaning the, not Lashevis, Larav Al Tanach Yedecha. But Bokas or Azracha means do the mitzvah Puruvu, right? And Larav Al Tanach Yedecha means do it again! So let's do it again. The same thing that was Puruvu. So once you have two sons, two daughters, no longer Larav Al Tanach Yedecha. So with as few as four kids, a person could have accomplished the highest level of the mitzvah. It's also a chumrah, right? In the sense that if a person has one boy and 10 girls, so according to Rav Shachter, they have not yet fulfilled Larav Al Tanach Yedecha. It's true they'd be putter if they've hit their wit's end, right? Just like the other poskim would say, but the other poskim would say, and they fulfilled their avel tanachidach. Rav Shechter would say, they don't have to have any more children, but they have not yet fulfilled their avel tanachidach. Their avel tanachidach is a particular formula of another boy and another girl. It seems that there's an additional kiyum mitzvah with every child, right? In each child, you can't say that someone has 10 of one gender or one of the other gender. Or let's say a person has 15 of one gender. They don't have any of it. So you can go up, Asakti Perivarivya, Asakti. But, you know, try my best. But it seems that they get credit for each one. What if a kid is not going to be from? So Rav Azner and Achuv and Chelik Dalit, some Kufsa Mechalif and Shevi Levi says you should still have more kids even if you don't think you're going to be able to raise them the Torah of the mitzvahs. Rav Shechter disagrees with that. One last, fourth mitzvah. I know I'm over time already, but just to finish, to be mashal in the Indian, a fourth mitzvah is the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Samach Beis says that the reason for the mitzvah of Puravu is to bring Mashiach. Because Ein Ben David Ba, Achiyach L'Kol Neshama Shabaguf. Mashiach comes when all the neshamas are emptied out of Shemayim. There's something in Shemayim called the Guf, and when all the neshamas are emptied out, that's when Mashiach is going to come. So we actually do not assume that that's the reason for a Puravu, but we do accept the premise. Meaning we do accept that we have to do whatever it is within our power to bring Mashiach, and we accept that each child brings us closer to Mashiach. That may not be the reason for Puravu, but it's an additional kiyum every time you have another Nesham that gets born into this world. You're being Mekayim, not Puravu necessarily, but you're being Mekayim bringing Mashiach. And Rav Shechter explains that that's why Kol Mesameach Chasan V'Kala, he writes this in Dikvei Hatzon as well as in that article in the RJJ Journal, the Davyomi people, right? Why is it that Davav, right? Davav in Maseches Brachos, that it's as if you rebuilt Echon Mechorvus Yerushalayim. They call Mesameach Chasan V'Kala. Or maybe that's Davhei, and Davav tells us that Yizochel Chamisha Kolos, Yizochel the Torah, which is Nitan V'Chamisha Kolos. If you're not Mesameach Chasan V'Kala, you're over Chamisha Kolos, fine. What does that have to do with building Mechorvus Yerushalayim? So the Ramban at the end of Parshas Naso highlights the requirement to celebrate the building of the Mikdash. And therefore, we have a major celebration on any day that serves as a step in the redemptive process. This is something that's a theme in Rav Shechter's writings. That anything that could be magdir as aschalto de gula deserves a celebration. And therefore, Rav Shechter paskins, we have a right to celebrate, even though it's the middle of Sfira. We have a right to celebrate Yom HaTzmut because it's a step in the redemptive process. How does he know? Okay, Ayin Shem Bikvei Atzon Be'inyan Begidrei Medina Sishal Mulcham Osara. But it's a step in the redemptive process. Every time a child is brought into the world, it's a step in the redemptive process. So a Jewish wedding is presumably to create a Jewish family. That's a Schalt de Gula because they're going to be having children. Ki'ilu Bana Echad Mechorvus Yerushalayim. We're taking another step to rebuilding Yerushalayim, and that's how Rav Shechter in that piece in the RJJ Journal quotes that Rav Menashe Klein highlights the same thing. I don't think I've ever seen him quote Rav Menashe Klein. And then Mishnah Halachos Chelik Hei Siman Reish Yud, Rav Menashe Klein also said that that's another inyan. So we have four inyanim of having children. We have Puravu, the Sheves Yitzara, which may or may not be independent of Puravu, Le'erev Al Tanach Yadecha. Right? Question exactly how to be magdir that, and hastening Mashiach. So when a couple wants to know, should we or should we not be having children right now, you got to run through all four of those chiyuvim and see whether they can all be put aside. Not necessarily that they all chiyuvim, but all four of those inyanim, and see whether they can all be put aside. What I want to start with tomorrow is the hashkafa of having children. All that is just halacha. What about from a hashkafa perspective? Because that's also a very important element of the conversation. So Beis Hashem, we'll start with that tomorrow, and we'll pick up from there, continuing in the Indian approval.
Where was the David Alevi about
even if they're Chelik Dalit and Kuf Samach Aleph?
So what happens to all these? I don't know all these, but what happens to the Mamzer? What happens to kids that?
That is a good question. Usually, they're not raised by Jewish families or by some families, and no one knows about it.